Who do you reckon was in that canyon with the old man, Palmer?
I don't know for sure. The last time I saw Stevens before I ran into him in Powder Keg Bay was over in Skagway. And then he was hanging around with a fella named Morgan. I don't know if the two of them are still pards or not.
Not Frank Morgan, I hope.
Well, yeah.
That was enough to make Lundy haul back on his reins and bring his horse to a stop. He turned angrily toward Palmer.
Frank Morgan the gunfighter? The one they called a drifter?
Yeah, that's him.
You loco son of a bitch! Frank Morgan's one of the most dangerous men west of the Mississippi. Don't you think it might have been a good idea to tell us exactly who we were going up against?
I don't know for sure that Morgan is still traveling with the old coot. Morgan wasn't with him in that saloon in Powder Keg Bay.
That doesn't mean he wasn't somewhere close by.
Frank Morgan will die just as quickly as any other man if he goes up against one of those Gatling guns.
Maybe, maybe not. If he was back there in that canyon with Stevens, he's probably still alive. Damn it, Palmer, I never bargained on having Frank Morgan on my trail.
Don't worry about it. Pretty soon you'll have the gold those half-breeds promised you, and you can get out of this part of the country.
Joseph felt a surge of anger at the contemptuous way Palmer referred to him and his people, including his sister. But he suppressed the urge to say something. There was already enough tension in the air without adding to it.
Jericho and me had a pretty good setup in Calgary. I'm not sure I want to leave it behind just like that.
You'll be rich enough to go wherever you want. Hell, the two of us could go back to Chicago. We'd be big men there now, Owen. We'd be running all the gangs on the South Side within a year.
Lundy didn't look convinced of that at all.
We'll see. First, we gotta get our hands on that gold we've been promised.
He turned in the saddle again to give Joseph a hard, meaningful look.
The gold is coming.
Joseph lifted a hand to point at the riders he had just spotted emerging from a thick growth of trees up ahead.
There!
It is Anton and the others!
It was accepted by many who knew them that Charlotte and Anton would be married someday. Joseph wasn't so certain that was a good idea. Anton Mirabeau was a good man to have as an ally, brave and devoted to the Métis cause, but he was also reckless and could be brutal at times. Joseph wasn't sure he wanted his sister to be married to a man like that. Charlotte had a mind of her own, though, and a stubborn streak a mile wide. Joseph was content to bide his time, hoping that eventually Charlotte would come to realize Anton wasn't the right man for her. Since the party led by Lundy and Palmer had already halted, they waited where they were and let Mirabeau and the others come to them. Joseph counted the riders and realized with a shock that one man was missing. Joseph hoped the man was just out scouting and that nothing had happened to him. Mirabeau and the others reined in when they were about 20 yards away. The big, black-bearded man raised a hand in greeting and smiled.
Joseph! Charlotte! It is good to see you again. You are all right?
We're fine, Anton! You heard our signal?
Yes. We heard what sounded like a little war, too. What happened?
We were just demonstrating the Gatling guns for your friends.
Burning up ammunition that we will be paying for.
You're still getting a damn good deal.
Perhaps in light of these developments, the deal should be changed.
Joseph stiffened with worry. This was just like Anton, he thought, going off on some wild tangent that would just wind up causing trouble. Lundy didn't like it either. Joseph could tell that from the way the outlaw straightened in the saddle and moved his hand slightly toward the butt of the gun on his hip. The Métis outnumbered the Americans 6-5. 8-5 if he and Charlotte were counted, Joseph thought. But Lundy, Palmer, and the other men were all hardened criminals, well-versed in the art of killing. Mirabeau might succeed in refusing to hand over the gold and take the Gatling guns anyway, but it would be at a high cost in human life. In fact, they might all die, which would do nothing to help the cause.
Anton, there will be no change in our arrangements with these men. Mr. Lundy has kept his part of the bargain, and we will keep ours.
Mirabeau frowned at him. He didn't like being spoken to that way, and Joseph knew it. Joseph felt that he had no choice but to put a stop to this trouble before it blew up into violence. After a moment, Mirabeau shrugged brawny shoulders.
Fine. If you want to pay for bullets that have already been fired, it's your decision, Joseph. You're our leader, after all. You're the educated one.
Anger and resentment burned in Joseph over Anton's response, but he forced it down. More important things than his pride were at stake here.
If your men will open the other crates, Mr. Lundy, we will unload the gold.
You don't trust us that those other crates have Gatling guns in them?
As much as you trust us that we brought the right amount of gold.
Fair enough.
Lundy gestured toward the pack mules.
Bring them out, boys.
During the next 10 minutes, Lundy's men took down the crates from the pack mules, pried off the lids, and unwrapped the other Gatling guns. They opened the crates that contained thousands and thousands of rounds of ammunition as well.
Well, are you satisfied?
Mirabeau had dismounted. So had Joseph. Together, they examined the guns.
You know more about these things than I do. Does everything look as it should to you, Joseph?
Yes. We have what we need here to assemble 4 Gatling guns, as agreed.
Then let's see that gold. We've been patient enough.
Joseph didn't think Lundy had been all that patient, but he kept that opinion to himself. He and Mirabeau went over to the pack horse the other Métis had brought with them and lifted down the chests using the leather straps on their ends. Joseph knelt beside one of them and unfastened the catches that held the lid down. He opened it, revealing the gold bars stacked within.
That's mighty nice. Where'd you get those bars?
That's none of your business.
As a matter of fact, it had taken a number of train holdups and bank robberies in various Canadian cities to assemble this much gold. In the eyes of the Northwest Mounted Police, he and his comrades were simply outlaws, common thieves, out for themselves. The Mounties had no idea the men who had taken these gold bars were revolutionaries, men who would forge a new nation for their people.
Open the other chest.
Mirabeau opened it. Lundy nodded in satisfaction when he saw the gold bars in it.
Looks like we got a deal. We'll throw in the pack mules. You'll need them to carry those Gatlings around.
Joseph closed the chests and fastened the catches.
What are you going to do with those guns anyway?
That is our business.
Sure. I was just curious, that's all.
You do know what killed the cat, don't you, Mr. Palmer?
Sure. Sure I do.
With the transaction complete, there was no need for the two groups to stay together. As soon as everything was loaded up again, they could go their separate ways. Lundy and his men were ready to leave first, since they only had the 2 chests of gold to deal with. They mounted up and set off without looking back. They continued heading east, toward the edge of the mountains and Calgary on the plains beyond.
We will let them get ahead of us, but not too far ahead.
Joseph looked at the man and frowned.
What are you talking about? Our business with them is done.
Slowly, Mirabeau shook his head and smiled. The expression was without warmth.
Now, Joseph, you didn't really think we were going to let them ride off and keep all that gold we worked so hard to steal, did you?